It's not even like lack of cover to the mace that you're like inviting him to places where he shouldn't be if he's an actual Avo.
That's a very good point. So let's put this all together again. And then you see it's really as a kasha also. So we have a Gemara. The Gemara tells us that Rav comes to Eretz Yisrael knowing that Rabbi Chiya has lost relatives. different gersos and different Perushim and Rashi and Tosef B'Shem and Hananel and the Chedush Aran. Either it was Rav's parents who had passed away. Rav's parents were Rabbi Chiya's siblings. Or it was Rav's grandparents who had passed away, who were Rabbi Chiya's parents. And when Rabbi Chiya asks him, are these people still alive? So he answers with indirectly. He doesn't really answer the question, gives a convoluted answer, and ultimately Rabbi Chiya understands that he's lost relatives. According to Rabbi Hanal, Rabbi Chiya realizes he's lost his parents, Rav's grandparents. According to Rashi, Rabbi Chiya realizes that he has lost siblings who were Rav's parents. Rav had erased that shiva back in Bavel. That this was the old news. This had happened months or years before. But they hadn't seen each other. Rabbi Chiya had been in Eretz Yisrael. The rest of the family seems like had been in Bavel. And Rabbi Chiya had not gotten news of them in months, if not years. That was just the reality of ancient transportation and communication. So Rav, if it's Rav's parents who had passed away, Rabbi Chiya's siblings, so Rav had already said Shiva months or years ago. And now Rabbi Chiya is hearing about it. So before we even go on the sugya, the problem is that Hagos Maimi says, stop right here. Don't you see that not only is Rav conveying the bad news indirectly, and that's consistent with the Moti Dibu Huxil Pasuk from Mishlei, the Gemara Reis Naf Gimel, but you see another layer that Rav would also have been ready to not even share the news at all. He would not have volunteered it even indirectly. So that's a chiddush. That B'Sheva Al Tasa, I could choose to passively not tell. Again, and then Hagozmai goes on to quote the Psak of Rashi, not only to passively not tell, you could actively invite this fellow who should be in Avelus to your Simcha instead, in violation of his Avelus. And then Binyam points out, not only is it Shver, how am I machshel this fellow who ought to be Misabel, but what about the Kavod HaMeis? What about the Kavod HaMeis? It's surprising. Doubly surprising. Surely out of kasha.
Yeah, really. I was wondering, in a case where, if Rav is able to invite Rav Chiya to a wedding, that means Rav would have to be able to make a wedding. Does that mean that he's no longer in Avelus?
Good point. I was giving the example of Rav making a wedding. That was not the Hagos Maimi. But you're right. It may well be that Rav is ready, done with his Avelus.
Case, then the Avelus that Rav Chiya would be chayav in is not like a normal Avelus.
Ah!
Maybe you don't need to warn him in this quasi-Avelus.
Okay.
You would need to tell him.
Okay, very good. Very good. So that's an interesting point. That's where the Gemara goes from here. The Gemara goes on, and then let's continue in the Gemara, putting aside the kasha of how is it legitimate to not tell. And Shirley is pointing that maybe it's legitimate to not tell only if it's a Shemua Rechoka. That's an interesting point. Hagos Maimi does not seem to think so, but that is an interesting terrace. Maybe it has to do with Shemua Rechoka. And the Gemara goes on, according to Hagos Maimi, very calmly, being very comfortable with the fact that Rav would not even have volunteered the information at all. But once Rav Chiya asked, he had to be honest, but he was honest but subtle, honest but indirect. So then what's Rav Chiya's response? Amalei l'shame, chalots li min ali. Rav Chiya says to his valet, help me off with my shoes. V'holeich keilai acharai leves hamechatz. And carry my things. Help me off with my shoes and grab my towel. I'm going to go to the bathhouse. What does that mean? So the Gemara translates this for us. Shema mino t'las, you see three things. Number one, Shema mino, Avel asur b'nilas asandal. You see from this story that an Avel is forbidden to wear shoes. Number two, Shema mino, Shmua Rechoka Ein Ha'Hegas El Yom Echad. You see that Shmua Rechoka, that a remote news, far away news, only lasts for one day. And Shmami not mixes a Yom Kekula. Part of the day counts as the entire day. What does this mean? So the Gemara says this is a small snippet. As I mentioned yesterday, the primary address, the primary locus in Shas in the Talmud Bavli for Avelus is the third parak of Moed Katan. Moed Katan is about officially about Moed Katan, about Chol HaMoed, and the first two parakim are largely focused Chol HaMoed. The third parak talks about Chol HaMoed and Avelus, and it gets into Avelus in general. And the dinim of Avelus, 95% or more of Hilchos Avelus, are in Perek Elu Megalchin, the third Perek of Maseches Moed Katan. So the Gemara there near the beginning of the Perek has a long, long list. And in my Makamos, I gave you a Rambam to look at, who gives you just to give you some of the background. The Rambam pulls together all the details into a neat list. A Jew, Rachman Litzlan, loses a close relative, a parent, a sibling, a spouse, Rachman Litzlan, a child. So Jewish woman is supposed to have several stages of Avelus. The Avelus begins, the Gemara tells us, the Rambam quotes from the Gemara, that the Avelus begins, Misha Yisasem HaGolel, the Avelus begins once the Kavura is complete, once the body has been laid to rest and covered with soil and the things are sealed up, and once the Kavura burial process is complete, that's when the standard forms of Avelus begin. And that's when you begin to count Shiva and Shloshim, 7 days and 30 days. The most intense Avelus, as we know, is for 7 days. So let's imagine that the person passes away on a Monday. So it could be they'll be able to bury him on a Monday, or it could be they won't bury him until Tuesday, or maybe there's a family that's flying in from Eretz Yisrael, they're going to bury him Wednesday morning. So let's imagine he passed away on a Monday, they're going to bury him on Tuesday. So when the burial is called for, let's say, 11 o'clock in the morning, so by 12 o'clock, the burial is complete, Tuesday at 12 o'clock, and that's when the dinim of Shiva and Shloshim begin. The Shiva, the 7 days of more intense Avelus, begins on Tuesday after Nistam HaGolel, after the Kavur is complete. Tuesday is day one, Wednesday is day two, and Thursday is day three, so on and so forth. Sunday is day six, and Monday is day seven. So the Shiva starts on a Tuesday, and it's going to end the following Monday. And over the course of those 7 days of Shiva, there's a host of Isurim of Shiva. Here, Parakei, you have in the last page of the Maamar Makamos, Rambam's Hilchos Avel, Parakei Halacha Aleph, he gives you the list of the various dinim of Shiva, mostly Isurim. He's not allowed to cut his hair, he's not allowed to wash clothes, he's not allowed to bathe and to put in creams. Married, he's not allowed to be intimate with his spouse, to wear leather shoes, to do malacha, to learn Torah. That list should sound very familiar. That sounds familiar from Tisha B'Av. Right? Some of those things, even also Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur also not allowed to rechitza sicha nil sasanu tasha shamita. But that list all applies to Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a combination, Biskurov points out, of Tanis and Avelus. So Yom Kippur, there's a din of Vinisem. That means you can't eat, you can't drink. And that means you can't engage in rechitza sicha nil sasanu tasha shamita. Now, those are the Isurim of a Tanis, like Yom Kippur. During Avelus, the Avelus is allowed to eat, doesn't have to fast. There's no Isra Achil or Shtia. And there's no Isra to stick your finger into water, like on Yom Kippur. But the Isra to bathe, Mamash, the Avelus is allowed to wash his hands, but he's not allowed to take a normal shower. So you see, it's like a Venn diagram. There's Tainus, and then there's Avelus. There's some overlap, but they're all the same. On a Tainus, you can't eat. During Shiva, you may eat. During Shiva, you're not allowed to learn Torah, because the Limra Torah is a Davar HaMisamech. He's allowed to learn sad things like Hilchos Avelus. On Yom Kippur, if you have time, you're allowed to learn Torah. There's no Avelus on Yom Kippur. Tisha B'Av, Brisker points out, is a combination of the two. Tisha B'Av is a tainus, and it's also avelos. So on the one hand, Tisha B'Av you can't eat, like on Yom Kippur, and the other, and you can't even wash your fingers, as on Yom Kippur. On the other hand, as on Shiva, Tisha B'Av you're not allowed to learn Torah. Tisha B'Av you can't, Sheila Shalom is forbidden. Lish'ol Shalom. And then there are also some additional things on Shiva, the mitzvahs, as it were, of Shiva, of Kefiyas Hamita and Atifas HaRosh. Kefiyas Hamita, Bizman Chazal, they would turn over all of the beds in the house. And that's like almost like a mitzvah saseh during Shiva, to reverse all the beds. To show that there was a person, each bed is for one person. And it shows that there was a talent of Kim that was lost. The Bayatosas say our beds aren't made the way beds are made B'tkuvas Chazal, so the way our beds are made doesn't really make a lot of sense to turn the beds over. Their beds were constructed very differently. So we don't practice Kfiyas Hamita, and we do have other menhagim that correspond. It may be that the sitting on the low chair, not sitting in a regular chair, may correspond to Kfiyas Hamita. And also the practice of covering mirrors and covering pictures of people's faces and the Beis Aval that also corresponds to Kfiyas Hamita. So that's Shiva. So the person is buried, the mace is buried on a Tuesday. So from Tuesday until Monday, you have 7 days of intense avelos. And then already you continue for the rest of the month, Shloshim, to have a much weaker form of avelos. Only certain things which are forbidden during Shloshim. The limits on haircuts and so on and so forth. And then, if the usually avelos ends after shloshim, that's the absolute end of avelos, except if the person who passed away was a parent. Avelos for a parent continues in an even lighter level. In an even lighter level, the avelos continues all the way. Avelos continues all the way for Yud Beis Chodesh. So if one lost a parent, there are three levels of Avelos, Shiva, and then a lesser Avelos of Shloshim, and then even lighter Avelos of Yud Beis Chodesh of 12 months. And if the Nifter or someone other than a parent, so then you only have Shiva and Shloshim. So that's the way it normally works. So our Gemara says that's the way it works in a normal situation. That's the way it works if the person was present, the relative was present at the kavura, or it was a shemua krova where the relative heard about the news soon afterwards. If it was a shemua rechoka, if it was a long time later, the long distance news, so then ein ohegas el yom echad. So then instead of having 7 days of intense avelos and an additional 23 days of a lesser avelos, all of that shiva and shloshim are compressed into one day. Shemur ruchoka eino hegas ela yom echad. And mix a yom kukulo. You only keep the whole day. When you have a regular shiva, so you said the nifter is buried on a Tuesday. So Tuesday is day one. The following week, Monday, will be day seven of Shiva. So the Shiva ends on Monday, and it doesn't end Monday night at Shkia. Ends Monday morning, Mix Yom Kukulo. Shiva ends Monday morning, and under normal non-COVID circumstances, everyone's the last set of Menachemim will show up Monday morning. They'll come for Shacharis, so they'll sit and be Menachem a little bit, and then they get up, and the Avel gets up Monday morning. That's the end of the Shiva. Mix as a Yom Kukulo. Then same thing for Shloshim. The last day of Shloshim, you keep Shloshim into the morning of day 30, and that's the end of Shloshim. The Gemara says here there's a Chiddush that Mix Yom Kukulo, even by Shmua Rechoka. We know the din of Mix Yom Kukulo. But the Chiddush is even by Shmua Rechoka is Mix Yom Kukulo. I would have thought the whole Shmua, the whole Avelos here is only one day. I would have thought you keep the whole day. No. Where do you see that? You see that from the story. You see that from this story. You see that from this story that that he said, take off my shoes, I'm going to the merchatz. Well, what does that mean? So now we know. We know some of the dinim now. To take off my shoes meant I'm gonna. Right now I'm wearing shoes and I'm an avel, so I have to take my shoes off. I have to take my shoes off. I have to practice avelus. I'm not allowed to wear shoes now. I just heard this news. And then what does he mean? Holech kalei achrei beis hamerchatz. Take my things to the beis hamerchatz. Beis hamerchatz. But the avel is also the same way. Avel is aser b'nias asandel. He's aser b'rechitza. He's aser b'rechitza. He's not allowed to bathe. So that's says the Gemara. Exactly. Meaning that he's starting avelus right now, but the avelus is going to be over in an hour, in 5 minutes. I have to take my shoes right now. By the time I get, let's start walking to the merchatz. By the time I get to the merchatz, that I already have completed the entire avelus. It's 1 day. Shmur Choka is only Yom Echad. And it's 1 day. And even to that 1 day, we apply Mixas Hayom. We apply Mixas Hayom Kekulo. So that's the second Shmamina and the third Shmamina. Shmamina Shmur Choka in Avelus Yom Echad. And Shmamina Mixas Hayom Kekulo. How about that first Shmamina? What was the first thing we learned from the story is Avel Aser Benilas Hasandel. He's not allowed to wear shoes. He's not allowed to wear shoes. So the Rishon were a little bothered. We know you're not allowed to wear shoes. That the Gemara, I told you, the main din, the main address of these dinim is in Moed Katan, near the beginning of the Perek El Megalchin. There is a whole list, one after another. How do I know the Avil is not allowed to bathe? How do I know the Avil is not allowed to put on creams? Sicha. How do I know the Avil is not allowed to wear shoes? How do I know the Avil is not allowed to be shalom shalom? Each time we have a Mar Makam. The Gemara brings Makoros. The Gemara says that a Pasuk in Yecheskel is the source for an avil bin asim bin yisas hamdali. Take a look at the Rebbeinu David. Tema who's there? He says, what's going on? We never knew that avil asim bin yisas hamdali until the story of Bechia. He was on a mechadashit. So he says, no. Yesh lanu lomar shal avil shal shmur rechoka armushu asim bin yisas hamdali. He says, no. The Gemara, as I told you, that the third Shmamina that Mixam Kukulo, it means that even by the Yom Echad we say Mixam Kukulo. Rabbi David says the point that even by Shmur Rechoka, the other Shmur Rechoka is Asimina Sasandal. Why is that a Chiddush? Why would I have thought that because of the Shmur Rechoka he's allowed to keep his shoes on? So he says no. Hutzrichu Kach. The reason why this is important to know, it's only 1 day. He can't do everything. But they said, during that hour, that short period of time, that fraction of a day, that he is keeping avails, kol mitzvah avails nogos bo, be'isr lo saseh. All of the isurim apply. Like nias asandal and rechitza b'chotzben. So nias asandal was an example. It's not that this story is how we know that an avil in general, that one of the halachas of Shiva is that avil is not allowed to wear shoes. No. We meant, from here you see that nias asandal is a type of din that applies, it's a type of din that applies to a shmur rechoka, as opposed to what? So he explains. They mention the asandal as a simen, and because it applies to all people, what do you mean? If Rebbe Chiya would have been sitting in the bathtub when he got the news, and then he would have to leave. But if he's not already bathing, so it's not clear. He hears the news, and then he doesn't proceed to bathe that moment. That's not evident. It's not nikar. If you are being roket yourself, then you're moneas out, and then you step away. He was at work, and he stopped working. So that's nikar. He stopped rechitza. He stopped the sikh. He stopped the malacha. But normally it's not nikar. A person is not always bathing. A person is not always working. But 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 throughout the day, a person is wearing his shoes. So that's why that's the most common example of an immediate change that the Avil makes when he hears the Shmur Chokhi. He's wearing shoes, takes them off. If he happens to be in the middle of putting cream on his hands, he's going to drop it. If he happens to be in the middle of working, he'll stop it. But almost invariably, he's out and about, he's wearing shoes. He takes off the shoes. So he has to take off the shoes. But the Chen Kol Mitzvah Sheba Avil, Shehen Asuros Alav. The same is true for all the Isurim, they do apply. Ni'il Sasanz is the most common example, because it's something that a person does all day long, normally. A non-Avil will typically be wearing shoes all day long, unless he happens to be wearing shoes that Avil is permitted to wear. But it's going to be true for all the other Isurim as well. If he's in the middle of saying hello to someone, he stops. He's in the middle of working, he stops. He's in the middle of rechitza, sicha, he stops. But then the Rabbi Adav goes on to explain, also, if Niyas HaSandal is an example of one of the types of Hilchas Avelos, but not the other type. The Mitzvah HaNo goes Ba'avel, the Mitzvah HaSeh, we mentioned before when we were going through the list, even though the Rambam doesn't present it this way, the Rambam presents all of those dinim as Isurim, but Rabbi Adav, Rambam said, the Avil is not allowed to uncover his head. The Avil is not allowed to stand his bed up normally. Rabbi Nadav presents it as those two items are mitzvahs aseh. They're kiyumim. Atifas harosh, to wear a hood. But I told us to say we don't practice it nowadays. We have different dress styles. But betzkufas chazal, betzkufas ha-tanach, the Avil wore a hood. That Rabbi Nadav says that's a mitzvahs aseh. Kviyas amita. Dafka, turn over your bed. The mitzvahs say don't apply. Only the Isurim. Aveil shahi. This is a temporary aveil. Enotzar lechazracher al mitzvah sheba avel. Doesn't have to go all the way to Mekain the Mitzvah Saseh. Just, you have an Isser, you avoid it. It's interesting. I mean, the Davar goes on to say, let's say a guy was taka barefoot. The guy was standing there barefoot. He was in his house, he's walking around in socks in his house. And he finds out that the terrible news that he had lost a relative, a Shmur Rechokam. So then. Then Rabbi David says, then you got to go out ready to do something. There has to be something. You have to do something. So once you took off the shoes, your shoes are on, you take off the shoes, and then you head over to the Mechatz. By the time he reaches the Mechatz, the veil is over. He can put his shoes back on, and more to the point, he's going to be Rochitz. So that's the Gemara. So that's the second half of the Gemara. Fascinating. The din of Shmur Rechoka. The Gemara here doesn't explain. What makes something a Shmur Rechoka? That's the Gemara in Masachas Ma'akan. They must say Shmur Rechoka means you heard about it after more than 30 days after it happened. If it's old news. Rechoka, remote, mean not so much location, but in other words, remote in time. You hear the fellow hears about the news long after he lost his relative. It's been more than 30 days have passed, so that's the Shmur Rechoka. It's only one day. But if you hear it sooner, then it's a full the Shmur Kerova. It's nearby news. Your fellow hears about the loss of the relative within 30 days. So then the full Shivan Shloshim apply. Yeah, but that's also strange. Another kasha. We were wondering before, we opened the sugya wondering, how could it be that you don't have to tell the Avel? He doesn't know that he's an Avel. How could it be I'm not mechuyev to tell him? I go, his mind is medayik from the beginning of our Gemara. Rav, he understands. I go, his mind says, Rav would not have told Reb Chiya at all. Why not? How could it be he wouldn't have told him? And then, as we said, let's explore the sugya some more. The truth is that the end of the sugya also is curious. The fact that Shmur Rechoka versus Shmur Krova, One question is, why does it matter whether I heard hear it long afterwards or not? Why does it matter when I hear it? So you might say, look, perhaps it'll have less of a, it'll be less raw emotionally. I find that still shocking to this Avil. He's hearing news which in reality happened a long time ago. But let me ask you another question. Even if it's a Shmuel Krova, you said the full Shiva Shloshim apply. What does the full Shiva Shloshim apply? He said Shmuel Krova you hear within 30 days. See, he hears 20 days later. See, he's going to keep Shiva Shloshim. Now, what do you mean he missed Shiva? Didn't Shiva happen already? Shiva was the 7 days after the Kavura. It's too late. So you say, no. The Shiva Shloshim start when you hear about it. If it's Shmuel Rechoka, then you have 1 day of Shiva and Shloshim, starting the day that you hear about it. If you hear about it sooner, so you have 7 and 30 days beginning biyom HaShmua, not biyom HaKavura. The Shiva and Shloshim begin at the Kavura only for an Avil who was present at the Kavura or who knew about it beforehand. But if the Avil only hears about his loss after the Kavura is done, then the Shiva doesn't start at the Kavura for him. The Shiva starts when he hears about it. So that's remarkable. That's Tzarech Bir. What's the Mechayev of Shiva? What's the Mechayev of Avelos? Is it the Misa and the Kavura? Or is it hearing about it? The Shmua is Mechayev the Avelos? So it's an intriguing din. If the Avil only finds out that he's an Avil only finds out they lost a relative after the relative is already buried, then the Mechayev, the Shiva and Shloshim begin when he hears about it. If he hears about it within 30 days, he's going to start counting Shiva and Shloshim then. Even though I would say Shiva's over, it's been more than 7 days since the Kavura, it doesn't matter. For this Avil, Shiva begins now. Rav had said Shiva for his father, for his mother earlier when they passed away, when he buried his parents. Reb Chiya is going to sit Shiva now. It's a Shmur Rechoka, so it'll only be for an hour. For a day, Miksim Kakulo for a part of a day. So that's an intriguing din. That the Shiva can either be begun by Kavura, or it can be begun by subsequent Shmur. Mikra Zeh Omer Darsheni. This is a din, not a mikra, but a din that requires understanding. And I would suggest to you, when Mirtz Hashem put the pieces together, when we're together on Sunday in Yeshiva, that these two riddles and the two halves of the sugya actually work together. The puzzle in the first half of the Gemara, the din that goes maimini was medayik from the beginning of the Gemara, that there's no chiv to tell the Avil, Hayitach, and I can even, the Psak of Rashi, I could dance with this fellow, even though he's really an Avil. And the second half of our Gemara, that sometimes the Shiva starts at the Kavura, but sometimes it only starts at the Shmua. How do you make sense of that? How do you understand that? How could it be that I'm going to start Shiva 20 days after the mace was a nikbar? It's too late for Shiva. It's a Shmua Krova, but it's too late for Shiva. But it's not. Sometimes the Kfur starts with Shiva, and sometimes the Shmua starts with Shiva. So these two riddles, I think, really will work together. And the key to bring them together is the Gemara at the very, very end of the first paragraph of Kedushin, which then we'll pick up with that on Sunday. We'll pick up with that on Sunday, a Mishnah, the last Mishnah in Orla. And the Gemara at the very, very end of the first Parak Kedushin, Daf Lama Tess, a remarkable, surprising story, a beautiful Ran. And this will bring together the two halves of our Sugya into a deep Chiddush about a unique din that applies only a few areas of Halacha, and one of them is Avelos.